Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is going to come from the book of Luke, and it's chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. If you'd like to follow under the Bibles, or the Bibles under the benches, that would be page 919. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it."
Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. Happy that you're here. We have visitors with us today, and it's a delight. We are delighted that you've come our way to worship this beautiful Lord's Day in Ohio, the state of four seasons in one day. So happy that you're here. I want to mention something before I begin my lesson this morning. Her sister, Charlene Hall, recently took a fall and broke ribs, a few ribs. So she's with us this morning, but she's moving around pretty slow. And keep her in your prayers. Her husband, Richard, has a lot of health problems too. And someone asked me one time how things are going at Central Avenue. I said if I could keep him from getting sick and dying, we'd be doing great. So, but that's life, isn't it? You know, and it's a reminder of there's an afterlife. We have hope beyond the sickness and the disease and the dying that is here. Let's talk about the benefits of God's Word. Let me ask you, have you ever heard of someone make a spontaneous remark in a public place? Maybe it is the season of political debates, and maybe it's at a political debate. Someone shouts or spews something out that just above the crowd. Okay. It's off the cuff. Maybe it's at a concert. I remember someone yelled at Elvis Presley one time to sing all of your songs, and I think his response was, "Okay, I'll sing all 463 of them." I think what we see going on here in the book of Luke in chapter 11 is whenever you go back and you look at Jesus, of what he's being accused of in Luke in chapter 11, he is casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. And Jesus' response to that was, "Well, if that's the case, we've got a house divided against itself. That makes no sense. And oh, by the way, by whose power are your sons casting out demons?" Ooh, that's a drop the mic moment for Jesus. They were like, whoa. And then after Jesus had gone on and he had reasoned with those who were in his presence with regards to that God is a part of me, God is with me, I cannot do these things without God's approval, and you need to believe and obey the gospel, and God's kingdom has come up on you. And then out of the crowd, as we see in verse 27, there's a woman who speaks up, and she says, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast who nursed you." You know what she's saying? Your mom must really be proud of you. That's basically what she's saying. That's a proud parent moment. Your mom must really be proud of you for who you are and what you're doing and what you stand for. And I love Jesus' response. If you think that's something that a parent should be happy about and pleased with, look, he says, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and they keep it. He says, that's where it's really at. That's where it's really at. You know what? You go back, and I want us this morning quickly to look at 4 points as we go back to the book of Psalm and Psalm 119. And I want us to look at the ways that God's Word benefits us in Psalm 119 as we begin actually in verse 1. Let me suggest or recommend this to you. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Well, the first benefit with regards to what we're seeing here in Psalm 119 is this. We're looking at the person. The person. God's Word has much to say about how a man, a woman can benefit from obeying God's Word. The person. The word blessed means happy. Happy! Let me ask you something. Are you a happy person? I know Don is. Don's a happy person. I think Don has found the key to happiness. And we're going to talk about that here in just a second. If not, let me suggest to you to try to read God's Word and let God's Word speak to your heart on how to live a life that is pure, that is clean, and He will bless you, and you'll be a happy person. You know, our world is full of unhappy people. It really is. I mean, there's a lot of unhappy people in our world. Not long ago, I was looking at a documentary on Kurt Cobain. Now, I realize not everyone in here knows who Kurt Cobain was. Kurt Cobain was an incredibly famous songwriter and musician for the grunge band Nirvana. Kurt Cobain gained almost immediate fame as he began to play with his band, and he hailed from Aberdeen, Washington, and within a year, he went from a garage band to just all of a sudden he's on MTV and very, very famous. Very famous. Kurt Cobain had a very troubled past. His parents divorced when he was 9 years old. He was very disturbed. He'd bounce around from one home to the next home. And his teenage years were very challenging for him. Some of his closest friends, his inner circle of friends, if you know how his story ends, he committed suicide at the age of 27. He took a shotgun and he ended his life. He had escaped a drug rehabilitation center, made his way back to Washington, and he took his own life. Some of his very closest friends were asked about his suicide, and do you know what a lot of them said who were very close to him? We're not surprised. Really? We're not surprised. Why? Well, you know, he had attempted suicide before. Now, the media downplayed it. The media let you know what they want you to know. They had downplayed that. But one of his friends made a comment one time. He took a white T-shirt, and he wrote on this white T-shirt, "I want to kill myself." He was a teenager when he wrote that. One of his friends asked him, says, "Come on, man, what's this?" He had a come on, man moment. You know, what's this, man? You know, that's just the way I feel. I just want to kill myself. That was as a teenager. You know, when Kurt Cobain died, his net worth was $50 million. His estate was close to $150 million. Did money make him happy? It didn't bring him happiness, did it? You know, that's what the world tells us. Man, if I was just rich, you know, I had wealth, I'd just be the happiest person. Now, I'm not saying that you can't be happy and have money at all. You know, go back and, my goodness, look at Abraham. Abraham was extremely wealthy and very loyal unto the Lord. But it goes back to the rich young ruler. You know the story in Matthew chapter 19 of the rich ruler? You know, if I could take away something with that story, it's this. Do you have control over your money, or does your money have control of you? That's the takeaway. That's the takeaway. So we see that wealth didn't make Kurt Cobain a happy person. Friends, the things that bring about happiness, they're not found in riches or worldly pursuits. But what our author is trying to tell us is happiness is found in obedience unto God. That's where happiness is found. And knowing that you're living a life that you're honoring God. You know, that's what makes me happy, Archie, is whenever I'm living a life that I know God's happy with. That's it. That's the takeaway. If you get nothing out of the rest of this lesson, I'm happy when I know I make God happy. Jesus said the same thing time and time again in the book of John. My will is not to do my own, but the will of my Father who sent me. That's where happiness is found. I've pleased you. John chapter 17, we go back to that. It pleased Jesus that he'd please God by doing his will. Another item to keep in mind are the precepts, the value when we talk about God's word in Psalm 119. Let's look, if we could, at verses 5 through 8. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn of your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly, God. God reveals the added benefit of his commandments. In keeping them, we have no shame. And because of that, we rejoice. We rejoice. You know, if you were to ask the average man on the street, so how many commandments did God give his people? I hate to say this. A lot of people are going to say 10 commandments. And that's their understanding. I've seen that Charlton Heston movie, you know? Yeah, I told you about my experience with Charlton Heston. I saw Charlton Heston one time in Columbus. And he was a guest speaker. I think it was at a National Wild Turkey Federation, you know. And I, of all places, you know, some were hunters there, others were turkeys at that gathering. And but I remember I opened up these double doors, and probably from here to where the wall is back there, there's Charlton Heston on this little stage. And whenever I walked in, there's probably only about 50, 60 people, you know, less than what's here. You know, and I looked up, I said, Holy Moses. That's what I said. And everybody kind of like, who are you? You know, and did I tell you about the time at Millersburg, the parsonage was on the property of the church building? And then one time as I'm driving in, the church building was like here, and the parsonage is up on the hill. And as I drove in, someone's cattle got loose. And there was about 8 cows on the property. And I drove in, and I looked around, I said, Holy cow. I'll stop. I'm done. I'll quit. I want you to stay. I want you to enjoy this fellowship and this worship time. But you know, so a lot of people will say, you know, God just gave us 10 commandments. Did you know in the Old Testament there are a little over 600 commandments that God gave his people? And they range from everything on how to worship God on the way that God wanted them to live their lives. Now, I realize there were New Testament Christians. And we look in God's law, and certainly within the New Testament, Jesus has given us a covenant, right? He hasn't said, now look, I realize that God gave you laws in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, God's just this big gray-headed, gray-bearded with a white robe, and he's just setting up in heaven, and oh, I changed my mind on all that. You all just go have a good time, and you do what you want to do. God has law. God has structure. And we see it even in the New Testament. Gave us the Lord's Supper. We partook of that just a little bit ago. Okay? You know, if some of you would have had your way, you know, we'd have had, you know, probably, you know, chocolate-covered, you know, cookies, you know, and maybe something else, coffee or, you know, Pepsi or something else. But we know that that's not the way the Lord prescribed that we are to partake of the Lord's Supper. He's not only told us what we are to partake, He's revealed to us the manner in which we're to partake it, and also the day that we partake it on, right? Where our minds need to be, our hearts need to be focused. Before Jesus left this earth and ascended back to the right hand of God to make sure that the church grows and thrives as it should, He reminds them, go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He shall be condemned. Jesus has commanded us to evangelize. But those are just a couple things. You know, I've run into folks sometimes that they don't like rules. They don't like structure. Rules are made to be broken. Not these rules. Not these rules. Let's talk about another benefit that comes to us by way of God's Word. There is, in verses 9 through 11 of Psalm 119, a purging that occurs. A purging that occurs. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander away from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I want to tell you, you think about that passage, the last one I just read right there, in verse 11. Think about what Jesus was faced with Satan when being tempted. Jesus quotes God's word every time. Okay? Every time. There is a purging. There is a cleansing. There is a clearing of the way. Folks, life is full of obstacles. And there are several obstacles that stand in the way of us making it to heaven, believe it or not. You don't think so? Go back and look at some Old Testament characters. Look at a successful example of Joseph with Miss Potiphar. Ooh. No one's going to know about it. I love his response. God knows about it. There is a man of integrity. When everyone else says, it's okay, you can do it. Survey says, it's all right. But God says it's not. And it's not all right. Or we go the other extreme and look at David. When the kings typically were out to battle, David wasn't. He's a king, was out to war. David's at home. He saw something that, oh my goodness. But then he began to look, and then lust led to sin. The acting out on the lust. There was an obstacle. Achan is another one. Whenever the Israelites cross the Jordan River and they go on in to Jericho, and they're conquering pagan territory, and God had clearly informed them to, there are cursed things there. You are to not acquire those cursed things from the pagans. Achan did. He paid a big price for it, he and his family. You can even go as far as Judas. Even Judas. So there are obstacles that stand in the way of us making it to heaven. Jesus, early on in his ministry, when he's talking about adultery, and adultery, actually the very beginning of it, in Matthew chapter 5, he says it begins in the heart, Jesus would say. Matthew chapter 5, and verses 27 through 30, Jesus would say, you know, how do we deal with this? Well, if my right eye offends me, I will pluck it out. Ooh, is he being, or my right hand, I will cut. What is he saying? Remove the obstacles that provoke and promote sin in your life. Cleanse the way. Clear the way. Sometimes we make it hard on ourselves by not allowing the way to be clean and clear and purged. I won't mention any names, but a young man meets with me. I'm struggling with pornography. A lot of young men are. It's true. I'm struggling with it, Scott. Do you have easy access to it? Yeah. This is going to sound pretty radical, but I'm going to tell you. You need to get rid of it. If you can't control you have no self-control, dude, you need to shut down. You know, just go without the internet. Go without the internet until you can get this under control and you can have Christ control in your life. And that individual looked at me like I had a third eyeball. Are you kidding me? I said, hey. I quoted Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and following to him. You're allowing obstacles and you're making it easy on yourself to sin. Your way isn't clean and clear and purged. You know, when we come to Jesus, we want that cleansing, don't we? We want to be cleansed of our sins. Brother, we should want to stay that way. So let's remove any obstacles that would trip us up or so easily ensnare us to sin, as the author of Hebrews says. Fourth and finally, and this lesson is yours, there is the praising. Look, if you would, in verses 12 and following. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and I will contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Do you see our author celebrating, rejoicing because of God's word? I do. Oh, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you. I don't have to guess at how to live my life. It's not like it was in the book of Judges, as everyone did fit or right as he saw fit in his own eyes. We have your word, your inspired word, and I praise you for your word. You know, it's just no big secret, and it's no big surprise. The number one selling book year after year is right here. Did you know that? Thank goodness. Now, buying it and reading it and then living it sometimes can be two separate things. You heard about the preacher who went by to visit with a family. And they had been hit and miss attending services. The minister came by and just tried to encourage him. You know, not the attendance police. Just trying to encourage. And they tried to pull one over on the preacher. The dad said to little Johnny, go back in the bedroom back there and bring out the good book. Trying to impress the preacher with what we know about God's word. He brought out Sears and Roebuck. You see, it does us no good if we don't truly believe that it's the good book and live it. Read it, obey it, live it. And we need to praise God for it. We need to praise God for it every day. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful for God's word. There is enormous benefit from God's word that we see in Psalm 119, verses 1 through 16. The person, the precepts, the purging, and the praising that is associated with God's word. I want to encourage you today, my friend, to humble yourself in God's sight. Have your sins purged, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Do you now understand that's why Jesus died? It wasn't just so as the religious world is about to share and go through the Passion Week of Christ, and just one time out of the year, we're going to focus on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Folks, the Lord's church in the New Testament focused on it every first day of the week. Did you know that? Every first day of the week. It's a big deal. He bled, he died for you. How do you come in contact with that blood, that cleansing that comes by? Acts chapter 22, verse 16, the Apostle Paul reveals the fact of the command that came to him. Why tarriest thou? Arise. Be baptized. Wash away. What? Your sins. Your sins. Maybe you've done that. You've strayed in your love and your loyalty unto the Lord. Friend, you want to come back. You need to return. God's waiting. We'll stand waiting on you to encourage you and to love you all the way to heaven. We can do that as together we stand and we sing the invitation.
Strengthen your word, renew my love, rebuild my faith, restore my soul. Revive the fire, deepen my soul. Stir my desire to look in your fold. Lighten my heart, dear God, yours is. Faith, oh, restore my soul. Renew my courage, Lord, it needs restored. My cup is empty, refill it, dear Lord. Replace all doubts and fear with faith, so Lord, renew my life, rebuild my faith.
Song for our closing prayer will be 888.
Thank you, Lord, for loving me, and thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Please reveal your will for me so I can serve before eternity. Use my life in every way. Take hold of it today. I want to.